said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with their neighbor, with flattering lips, and with the double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said with our tongue, we will prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety for him that puffeth at him. The Lord's words are of the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." I want to preach on this thought, God bless me here for a little while this afternoon, on asking for a new beginning. Asking for a new beginning. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you this afternoon, God, for the time of privilege, God, opportunity to stand, God, and preach one more time. Lord, we thank you, God, why we're yet a sinner. A man of God loved us enough, came by our way, Lord, preach on our heart, we might hear and believe, God, and be saved. Lord, we thank you, God, today as we've gathered. Lord, we've already felt your presence today, but Lord, we know it's a place a man can't stand alone. We pray, God, for a little while you touch these lips of clay, give us great word, wisdom, God, from heaven, we'd preach in power. Demonstrates the Holy Ghost with much assurance. There'd be one lost, I pray. You might touch their heart. God, you might help us today to have hearing ears, obedient heart, and willing attitude to do that which you ask us to do. What you do, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. You'll be seated. Psalm chapter number 12 is a psalm that is written by David. Amen. If you have a Scofield Study Bible, it is noted in the superscription above our text, giving David credit for writing this text. But also in our superscription, there's another statement that says it is written to the chief musician upon Sheminith. There are 52 psalms that are dedicated to the chief musician. And yet of the 52, there but are two that are written to the chief musician upon Sheminith. The first psalm is in Psalm chapter number 6. The second is Psalm chapter number 12. Sheminith, the word means the eighth. And it's the exact same thing in music, if you know music, that we call an octave. Amen. Which is an interval of eight notes. There are only seven keys in music. Amen. There are five flats and five sharps. But there are many octaves, amen. And with every octave within those seven keys, there is a new beginning, amen. It starts all over within itself. The number eight in the Bible is the number of new beginnings, amen. And in Psalm chapter 6 and Psalm chapter 12, David is crying out to God, asking that God might give to him a new beginning, that he might give unto him new mercy and a fresh touch, that he might help him in the time of desperation and despair, in a time of seemingly hopeless dark days of sin and of evil. David was crying out that God might once again touch his life. Amen. In Psalm chapter 6, David cried for mercy because his faith was weak when his enemies had come and attacked and pressed on his life. He said he was consumed with grief, and the day waxed old because of his enemies. He was in a place of utter darkness, amen, so much so that he felt that even the very God of heaven had forsaken him. He said in Psalm 6 and verse 4, "Return, O Lord, I deliver my soul, save me for thy mercy's sake." David found no consolation. He found no comfort in anyone or in anything. And yet when he called on God, God heard his prayer, amen, and he gave mercy that he so desperately needed, amen. Have you ever been in that place of hurt, that place of trouble, when it seemed that all hope was gone, that even the very God of heaven had forsaken you, that there was nothing left to do but to throw in the
towel. I done laid up. I done dined to quit and to go to heaven. Hey, friend, I'm glad in those times that there is help in God to be found. Jeremiah 33:3, that call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Even when you don't know where to go or who to turn to, you know we've got a God in heaven who is a very present help in the time of need. And friend, he will reach down and he will deliver us out of all our trouble. Amen. David cried out in the midst of trouble when his enemies pressed on him. But in Psalm chapter 12, David is crying for help and for mercy, not only because of evil men pressing upon his life, but because of an evil society, amen, of ever-present sin, even among the godly or the righteous, amen. Verse number 1, the Bible said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men." That's the church that he's talking about, amen. A friend, sin had crept in and caused the righteous man to cease from holiness, to cease from living upright, to cease from living separated. Sin came in and caused the faithful man to fail from among the children of men. Amen. For he, friend, has not just slipped. He's not just fallen and got back up. Neither has he sinned and repented. For we're promised in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I'm thankful that when we mess up, there is forgiveness at the hand and the mercy of God. Amen. But friend, this man that he's talking about, he's went much farther than that. For he thought nothing about his sin. He had no remorse, had no repentance in his heart. But he reveled and he delighted in the sin. So that now the Bible said he has fallen and failed from among the children of men. That, friend, is that his sin has been made known to all men. His mess up has been known among his countrymen. His testimony had been destroyed and overrun and ruined by his sinful fall. Amen. This sin, whatever it may have been, that overtaken this godly man, it caused the faithful to fail. Amen. It wasn't something that just sprang up overnight, though. Amen. It wasn't something that sprang up unawares and destroyed their lives. Oh, no, friend, sin doesn't work that way. Amen. A sin starts small, and if it's nurtured and cultivated, it will completely consume and overtake and destroy someone's life, so that many times in the end that person is unrecognizable, both physically and emotionally, because of the negative impact that sin has upon our lives. Amen. Sin in the Bible is compared to leprosy. It starts small and unnoticeable. It can even be hidden for a little while, but after a while it gets so out of hand that it cannot be hidden. It becomes obvious that you're eat up with a disease. Amen. It takes away your feeling in your hands and your feet. It began to open infectious sores all over your body. It began to slowly eat at your life until there was nothing left. Amen. And friend, the only cure for leprosy was an act of God. Amen. It was a miracle. And sin's the same way today. Sin takes away your sensitivity to the things of God. Sin will take away your convictions. It'll make you do things that you'd never thought you'd ever do before. Sin that remains in your heart or in my heart will openly rob us of our joy and of our life. It'll make us bitter and hateful. Sin will claim your life and your soul. Your joy and happiness will begin to fall away from your spirit, and it'll leave you hurting with no comfort, no rest because of the pain. Friend, there is but one cure, and that is Christ and the blood that he shed. Amen. Sin, friend, was paid paid for on Calvary by the blood of Jesus once and for all, and he ever liveth to make intercession for our sin. Amen. Sin, friends, nothing to play with. Amen. It's nothing to pursue after. Proverbs 11:19 said, as righteousness tendeth unto life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it unto his own death. Friend, why would you pursue and continue after something that all it can offer is death? Amen. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. Amen. Friend, sin will bring forth nothing but death. And eternal damnation and separation from Christ. And though there is pleasure in sin for a season, that season will shortly come to an end. Just as summer and winter and spring and fall all come to a close, so sin will. Amen. And you'll find yourself caught in something that you just may never get out of. Amen. Romans 6:12 said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Friend, we must always be on our guard for sin. Amen. Trying to creep into our lives. 1 Peter 5:8 said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And friend, he knows our weaknesses. He knows our loopholes. He knows our shortcomings. And he knows just how to dress sin up. How to look. It's very best to you and to me. So that we might be tempted to fall into sin. Amen. James 1:14-15 said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived and bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth fourth death. Amen. The sins that we are tempted with daily, they're just in us. Amen. Because that we're sinners. Amen. Psalm 51:5 said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We have a sin problem today, not because that we choose to, but because that we're sinners. Amen. We lie because we're liars. We cheat because we're cheaters. Amen. We steal because we're thieves. We sin because it is our nature. Romans 7:18 said, for I know that is in me, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to me a will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Friend, if Paul had trouble with sin, I know I do. Amen. The flesh, it can't do anything good, because it longeth after the vile affection of this world. It lusteth after the feel good desires of sin. Amen. And because we do, Paul said in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. It is to take up our cross daily and follow after Christ, to put on the whole armor of God. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. We all struggle with sin. Amen. Every day, no matter how big or how small, we all have problems with sin daily, because that we're in a warfare. Amen. A spiritual warfare. It is the spirit against the flesh. Amen. Galatians 5:17 said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. We're faced daily with a desire, with a question, with a decision to sin or to not to sin, to live for God or to live for the flesh, to say yes or to say may know, amen, the flesh says go ahead and sin. Go ahead and indulge. That nobody will know anyway. And nobody will care. That it's your life. And you can do anything that you want to do with it. Do as you see fit. But at the same time, the Spirit says don't do that. Amen. Don't sin. Don't indulge. That whether anybody else knows or not, that God sees and knows. And it's better to please God than to satisfy the lust of the flesh. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13, that there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. Friend, though we are in a warfare today, and the temptation of sin is great, God's given us a way to escape, a way to say no to sin, and to live victorious over our flesh. But most of the time, we fail to sin. We fought a sin because we don't look for the way of escape that God has put before us. We walk into sin like we don't have a choice, like we've just got to face another fall before we can go a little farther. But friend, we proceed and partake rather than to pray. Amen. 1 John 4:4 said, ye are all of God little children and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in us than he that is of the world. We have the victory today. Amen. Victory's already ours. Victory has been given. But many times we just fail to tap into the resources that God has given us to claim that victory. Amen. That victory, our friend, is in the precious word of God. Amen. It is in the promises that God hath given to you and to me. That victory is through prayer and in the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Many times the old saying is that when all else fails, pray. But friend, we should pray long before everything else is failing. Amen. That we might too live and walk in the victory that God has for us. Amen. David cried in verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail. Some commentators said that David was imploring of the Lord in such desperation because he had tried to find help in man first, but he couldn't find it, so he went to God. But I don't believe that. Amen. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. And I believe almost always that David went first to prayer. He went first to seek after the counsel of God before he ever sought the counsel of man. Unlike you and I, our last resort is to pray and to seek God. But I believe David, I went first to his time of prayer and sought after God. Amen. I believe though that David was looking for over the nation of Israel, and he was looking for men that were godly to serve with him. For men who were trustworthy and reliable, for men that would be and had shown themselves faithful throughout the years. But it seemed that the harder he looked, the fewer and fewer that were found, that were qualified. It is not said that all the godly has ceased, that all the faithful had fallen, but it was possible that all the godly and all the faithful were already serving God in a capacity in which that they were needed. And David was just desperately looking for someone else to pick up the banner and to serve with them. But those that possessed faith and had made vows to God and to his cause had quit and fallen to sin. Amen. those that were qualified, those that were serving and were laboring, had gone out from among the children of God and forsaken them, as did Demas forsook Paul for the love of this present world. I believe in this day, God is too looking, amen, for men and women to serve Him. But as He examines and He looks across His kingdom, His children and His churches are so full of sin that He can't trust them. He wants to use them. I believe that. But sin hinders their lives and hinders their fellowship with God. They may have once been faithful. They may have once been godly, on fire for God. But now they become ashamed to the name and to the cause of Christ, rather than being a good influence and a positive testimony and a light to a dark world. They're a greater loss to the church by God leaving them here than it would be to Him to take them on to glory, because they counteract the very thing that the church is supposed to represent. Friend, they're a false figure to the world and an evil testimony unto the lost. Amen. David said, "Help, Lord. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. It seems as if all men have fallen and all have failed." He said in verse 2, "They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak." One way that the godly had failed was in a disregard for the truth. Amen. No one could put confidence in their words. Their words were empty and futile rather than encouraging and faithful. Though claiming to be Christians, they became a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, not worth the salt or the air that they were breathing. He said they spoke with flattering lips, that is, they were smooth talkers. They built up others in vanity for self-rights, self-gain and profit. Paul told those in 1 Thessalonica and 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 and 4, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanliness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing man, but God which trieth our heart." Paul said, "I speak with the fear of God, with the fear of one day being judged and standing before God and giving account for those things which I've said, and therefore," Paul said, "I speak only the truth, but it was not so of those." In Psalm chapter 12, these men used the gospel as an advantage unto themselves. They were not true blue, amen. They were only self-righteous when it was beneficial to their cause and to their agenda, amen. Verse 2, he said, "Also they speak with double hearts." That is, they had a double standard. Amen. Deuteronomy 25:13 said, "Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weight, a great and a small." They were unfair. Amen. They gave to one man justly and to another man justly. Amen. James 1:8 said, "Though a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." These men's actions, they were unbecoming of a Christian. Amen. Their character, that they claimed was false. They were hypocrites. Their actions did not line up with their words. They were whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. David said in verse number 3, "Yet the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things." Friend, though you may have been wronged by the flattery of someone's lips and the deception of lies, and the beasting and the boasting of it, friend, one day all wrong shall be made right. Amen. Paul said in Romans 12:19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Friend, there's coming a great day of judgment one day for the small and the great, the saved and lost alike. And God will bring every last person that's ever lived before the throne to be judged. Where not one jot nor tittle shall be overlooked until all the law be fulfilled. Some of these that David are talking about will be those that say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and done many great works? Lord, are we not righteous enough? Have we not done enough good deeds to get in? But he'll say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Amen. Friend, those seemingly, they appeared godly and righteous. They were sold a lie. Amen. And they were selling it to others, making them also a twofold child of hell. Amen. Verse number 4, Paul, David said, who have said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Amen. These that have ceased and fallen, they were prideful. Amen. They were selfish. They were arrogant. They had no fear of God or fear of the consequences of their sin. Amen. They said, who is God over us? That's what Pharaoh said. Amen. When Moses was told to go before the king of Egypt and say, let my people go, Pharaoh said, who is this God? He said in Exodus 5:2, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. But friend, in his unbelief and sin and disobedience, God caused judgment to fall upon the whole land of Egypt, and all, if not all, the firstborn sons of those Egyptians were lost that night at the hand of the angel of death. Amen. Friend, there are consequences to sin. Amen. Whether or not you and I pay for them now, one day, sooner or later, that which we've sown will come up and bite you. Amen. In some way, form, or fashion. Bible said, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he reap. Amen. David's crying for help. Help, Lord, in this time of evil. He said in verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. David has now made his petition known to God. Amen. He's cried out to God for help. And it now seems that God has heard his cry. Amen. For he said, now will I rise, saith the Lord. Amen. Over in Malachi chapter number 4 and verses 1 through 3, the Bible said, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And that day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them not neither root nor branch, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In that day I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. David said in Psalm 41, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Friend, don't quit crying. Amen. Don't quit praying. The Lord will hear and will answer your prayer. Amen. I'm glad when we call upon him that he will answer our prayer. Amen. For friend, he is a God that hears the calls of his children. Amen. That takes notice to even the most insignificant pleas that you and I have. The Bible said that Proverbs 19:22, that just for desire of a man is in his kindness. Amen. The Bible said if you'll be faithful to God, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. That's something that most of the time isn't even voiced isn't even told. And yet God takes notice of the desires of his children. The Bible said in Psalm 6:8 that he heard the voice of my weeping. A tear makes no noise. And yet, friend, when we're hurting and it seems we can't get a word out and the tears begin to flow, God hears our tears. And friend, he knows what we stand in need of. Amen. As insignificant and worthless as a tear is, the Bible said, yet God even bottles them up and he keeps them and he pulls them out that he might understand the weeping of his children. A sigh is the least of all these. And yet in verse number 5 of our text, David said, now for a sigh will I rise and go to my children. And friend, he is aware of our needs. Amen. Our feelings. And he sympathizes with you and with me. Hebrews 4:15-16 said, for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. How great a God we serve today. For when we are low and it seems that we can't go any farther, when we're afraid and fearful, he will arise and run to our rescue and champion our cause and fight for me and nurse our wounds and give rest in the midst of the battle. Amen. Psalm 23:1-3 said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Friend, God will come at your weakest moment and rescue and redeem and restore your soul. Amen. Psalm 73:2, 23-26, he said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold of me by my right hand. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. I'm thankful today that God will come to the cries of his people. Amen. He goes on in verse number 6. He said, for the words of the Lord, they are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Amen. The words of God are in great contrast to the words of those in verse 2. 3 and verse 4. Amen. They spoke falsehood. They spoke vanity. They used impure words. But God's word, the Bible said, are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace. They're eternal words that shall never pass away. Amen. He said in verse 7, for thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forevermore. Hey, friend, the words of the Lord are pure words. The number 7 is the number of completion. God's word, friend, is complete. Amen. It's everything that God wants you or me to know. It needs nothing added. It needs nothing taken away. And friend, though it was said 7 times in the furnace of fire, and it is pure, and it is perfect, no matter how many times that you tried, no matter how many times that you tested, it'll never come up short. It'll never let you down. Amen. It will always be exactly what you need. Psalm 119:103-105 said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though thy precepts I get understanding, therefore hate I the false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Friend, those men's word may not be trusted or trustworthy in the day days that we live, most men's words aren't. Amen. They'll do you wrong and laugh on their way out. But friend, God's word, it is faithful and true. It's never been proven otherwise. Amen. Nor will it ever be proven anything but true. Amen. Because it is forever settled in heaven. It has been as long as Christ has been. And it will continue far as long as Christ continues, which is from everlasting to everlasting, from always has been to always will be. It is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Then finally, verse number 8. This final verse, I believe, is a call to action to the people of God. He said in verse 8, "For the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Friend, that's where we're living at today. Amen. In the last days, the wicked are walking about on every hand. They're walking about unrestrained and unbothered. Evil is being praised. Vile men are being promoted and exalted as heroes and role models. Immorality and brutality and murder and lying and drunkenness and nudity and the love of money and the abuse of authority and power are not just being condoned, but they're being awarded by our entertainment industry. These people should be ashamed of. They blush over nothing. Amen. Things that people should be ashamed of are being boasted of openly. That is divorce and shacking up and cursing and sodomy and sex and immorality and immodesty and gender change and cross-dressing. Things that God directly condones are now means of universal entertainment. It is being promoted on every TV show, every movie, every YouTube video, every commercial. Friend, evil is on every hand. Amen. Philippians 3:18-19 said, "For many of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things." Amen. Friend, but there is a way to restore and overcome all this national evil. Amen. It is that God's people will call out to God for forgiveness of sin, to ask for forgiveness for our laxity, for our carelessness, for our being once again, and to once again live separated unto Christ like a Christian ought to live, to live by the precepts and the principles of the precious Word of God. Amen. 1 Chronicles 7:14. Bible said, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will heal their land, and will, friend, give revival unto those who truly desire to see God move once again." Amen. Revival is a very needed thing in our day. Amen. Matthew 5:13-16. It tells us that it is the church's responsibility, amen, to share the love of God. But many Christians who claim to be Christians can't even witness to someone at Walmart because of the things they saw them look at just around the corner on the last aisle. Amen. If you're saved today, and just as David and Paul had a desire to live in a better country, in a city where sin cannot enter in, for this saved man earnestly desires and groans for the perfection of that land called heaven. Amen. But David in our text looked, and he found no consolation in this world. He found no consolation in men. All David saw was evil. Amen. He saw evil actions, evil hearts, evil plans. And because of that, he cried out to God for help. Help to live godly. Help to stay faithful. Help to remain clean in a sinful world. He cried out that God might give unto him new beginning, amen, that God might restore unto him the joy of his salvation. Paul said in Romans
8, verse 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Amen. Friend, though there is little hope in this world, I'm glad our hope's not in this world. Amen. But our hope is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:19 said, in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Rather, we have hope in Christ. And in another world not made with hands. Titus 2:13 said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior, the great God, Jesus Christ. Are you who you say you are today? Amen. Are your words lining up with your heart? Do you need a new beginning? Can you witness? Can you shout? Can you tell someone what God's done in your heart? Because you're walking close to Him. If not, God will give a new beginning. Amen. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. If you're lost in this place today, He can make you brand new. Amen. He can make that which is old pass away and make a new creature out of that old man. If you're saved and just away from God, He can make a new start in your life. Amen. No matter what you've done or where you've been, God can use you in some way, form, or fashion, even now. Amen. I tell you, I'm thankful tonight, this afternoon, that God is a God of forgiveness. Amen. Though you may not give back everything you've ever had, God will bring you back. Amen. And He will restore to you the joy of your salvation. Now, Father, we thank You again today.